here for a second and go back to number one. When we decide to open the ice cream place, all right, back then, I'm going to get to a point. Back then, you're only making 75 cents an hour. So people would realize pay wasn't what it was. In order to open the ice cream place, we had the farm. We had the cows and the chickens and the pigs and all that stuff. So in order to open the ice cream place, we had to sell our two cows in order to get enough money to open the ice cream place. And that's how we started with selling two cows. That's how we got in the ice cream business.
Was that a scary decision to make?
Back then, yes. Because that was the milk, the cream, the butter, the cream, and also the meat for the whiffer for the year. Things were different back then. Things were, you didn't get a lot of money. You'd done everything, you know, that you could survive. Things weren't like they are now.
Yeah. And another thing over the years, too, like when we first took it over, a lot of the customers were ones that came when it was Wager Brothers. And they opened the ice cream stand to use the surplus cream from other products they made. So the ice cream was like a byproduct for them to use. So they sold it very reasonable. You know, you'd get a huge ice cream cone for the money that you paid for it. So when we took it over, because we were buying our mix and all, it cost us more to make. So naturally, we had to raise our prices. And so people who were regular customers before would give us a hard time about that. And I remember one particular little old lady, she really was lacing me out in lavender about the prices. And I says, well, you know, you don't buy a loaf of bread for 15 cents anymore neither. You know, but that did not satisfy her. She didn't want to pay that kind of a price. And then the other time, when they put the sales tax first came into effect on food, it was called the hot dog tax at the time. And it was, I don't know if it was a 0.5% or 1%, no, very small
penny.
Amount, you know.
It was a penny.
Yeah. And again, it was an older man that come up to the window. And he would come up and just count his pennies out to the exact amount of the cone, refuse to pay the taxes. I'm not going to pay tax on my food. You know, what do you do?
When they fall on something terrible.
So those were some of the transitions that we had to work through, you know, until the public would accept.
Were there ever any times when you thought you'd have to close up entirely?
Well, we had the fire, but then we were determined, we lost half the building. Then we determined we were going to open the ice cream place, and the Troy Record wrote a nice article on how the fire had started and how long we'd been there. Did a very nice job writing all about our fire. But then when we turned around, we opened 3 weeks later, they had a little paragraph in the back of their paper that wasn't just a little paragraph. So we had to fight our way back up again.
Yeah, many people thought that it was gone and it was closed, so that took a while to bring it back.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds like some of the things you've mentioned are, particularly when it comes to people approaching you for new ice creams, I imagine that's something where you build your reputation up over time.
Yep.
Can you talk about that process?
Well, I think mainly Wager's made good ice cream too when they were doing theirs, so that helped us, people remembering, you know, the place to go for ice cream. But we've never compromised when making our ice cream. We've always made a good, an excellent quality product, and people appreciate that and know, you know, and we do have a reputation in the Capital District that Moxie makes very good ice cream, and if you want to impress somebody or you got a special friend that you want to do something with, Moxie's is the place you bring them. You know? And the kids, you know, we've got customers that come, and there'll be three generations. There'll be the grandmother, the mother, and the child. And they've been coming ever since the grandmother was a young girl, you know. So it's, we've got people hooked.
Whoa, good that we're hooked.
And I think, too, both of us are very outgoing. So we, you know, we talk with people and we joke with them and all that. And people like that, you know, and always been polite. We always thanked them. And
And Pamela, too. And Pamela, too.
Yeah.
And Wanda.
So, but I'm just saying when we started.
Yeah.
So, and people appreciate it being appreciated. Yeah. And that makes, I think that makes a big difference. I've been to stores. The person that's waiting on you now doesn't even speak to you and doesn't have a smile on their face, and you go, wow, you're not anxious to go back.
This sort of, you kind of answered my question a little bit, but I was wondering what you think makes Moxie's special, what makes it stand apart from any other ice cream place.
Well, I think we're the only one that's got a playground. And the fact that we are out in the country, you're not dealing with traffic or no parking spot or anything like that. Let me see.
Yes.
And it's out in the country, yes. Road. You would get people that, when they go to Cherry Plains, which is a state park, yes. This was a place to stop on your way home. Mm-hmm.
All right,
and from just up from our place, the ice cream stand, there's a road. It's called Creek Road, and there's a creek that runs right alongside of that road from our side over to Eagle Mills. And back in the days when we were first starting, people used to go swimming in that creek. And so that was another thing. You'd go swimming, and then you'd stop at Moxie's on your way home. You know, but since then they've posted that wall and they don't let people swim in the creek anymore. But and I think because of the playgrounds and all of that, it was a reasonable place to bring your family. You know, you'd spend ice cream or money just on your ice cream, and yet they would stay for 2-3 hours with the kids playing on the ground. So that made it affordable for families.
Do you have anything to add about what makes Moxie special?
Well, our National Ice Cream Day. You get to come, you get to enjoy everything that's there. You buy an ice cream, you get the clowns, you get your face painting clowns, you get to see the reptiles, you get the bouncy bounce, you got the... What's the other things we have?
We have a DJ that plays music.
All day.
National Ice Cream Day, we make it Customer Appreciation Day.
Yep.
Pamela has done many things, changed them over the years, but there's no cost to the customer at all. The only thing we ask them to do is buy the ice cream that they eat, but everything else is free.
Yep.
And that people really look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And... you mentioned reaching out to the community.
Yes. We'd have schools come out, and we would show them through how we make the ice cream and bring them up front and, you know, walk them through the whole process of the ice cream thing. The one thing the kids really liked was when we showed them the hardening room, which is the deep freeze. That gets a lot of frost. The deep freeze has shelves that we set the ice cream on, which is ammonia pipe, so that's cold and frost develops on that. So when you open up the door, you have this like snow room you're going into. And it is, how many degrees below zero?
It's only 20 below.
20 below. So when you open up the door and they feel that cold in the middle of the summer, that's very impressive to them. And then we'd always get a homemade card from the kids. We'd have the Boy Scouts come out. We'd have church groups come out with their youth groups.
And then your disability kids are, they don't say disability anymore. What do they say?
The handicapped.
Yeah.
We'd have them come out.
Careful how we word that now.
And then doing the floats and the parades, that was an outreach that everybody liked. And we would usually be quite busy after the parade that people would search us out.
And then we also, like, for churches, like Brunswick Church used to do, or still does, the international students' dinner for all the international. We would donate ice cream to them for that, stuff like that. Donate ice cream to different churches in the area.
St. Henry's Church, they used to have their festival every year, craft fair.
And we donate to them.
They had apple pies, and we made almond ice cream for their apple pies. Yeah.
And different organization we would donate ice cream to.
And could you talk at all about the either family life around the ice cream store, the family legacy? I know Pamela's seems like a big part of it now, but is that...
Yes, when we first started, Pamela and Wanda, our two daughters, were small. They were in kindergarten. And so... before school got out, because we always opened Mother's Day, and school didn't get out until the end of June. We owned a station wagon.
All right, thanks.
And we would put that in the garage in the back of the ice cream stand, and they were to go to sleep. We're supposed to. And then when we close up at night, then we'd go home. But in the beginning, they used to sneak up front and watch us dip the ice cream and stuff. And but they were always very loyal to their father with ice cream. They would not eat ice cream all winter long. They'd only eat Daddy's ice cream. And another thing, when we first opened, they used to bug us. Can we have ice cream? Can we have ice cream? So I finally said to Moxie, let's let them eat as much as they want. In a couple of weeks, they'll get tired of it, and we won't have that problem. Well, here we are almost 50 years later. We eat as much ice cream as we did the first season we were open. I mean, you know, good ice cream is good ice cream. Both of our girls worked in it growing up as a young age, and it was a very good experience for them. They are both good workers, very productive people. They enjoyed it. Our son, he hated it. He did not like it at all. And he used to say, it sucks the life out of me. So he did not have the experience that our daughters did. And our younger daughter, she lives up in New Hampshire. And when she was up there, she went and found a ice cream place that makes their own ice cream. And she worked for them for a few years and made their ice cream. So both of our girls are ice cream people, but not our son. No.
And what are all your children's names, just so we have them down?
Pamela and Wanda. Mm-hmm. Pamela's the older one, and then our son is Thomas.
Is he the youngest?
Yes.
Yes, he's the youngest. Okay. And actually, there's 11 years between Wanda and Thomas. Mm-hmm. So when we had him, it was like a second family all over again. Mm-hmm. And and maybe that's why he had the feeling he had. He was, because with Wanda and Pamela, they worked together, you know, and became part. And I can remember one time we had... Pamela working the window, and this was over in the food section. And she was in kindergarten. And the man that ordered his food gave her a $20 bill. He thought, I'm going to make out here. And they learned how to make change. They knew how to make change properly. And his face dropped when he realized he only got the money back that he was supposed to get. And the teacher in school, they used to have the kids collect the milk money. And she had commented to me, you know, your daughter always balances. She always collects the right amount of money.
I think we've actually covered my questions here. And all of the points you brought up that I took notes on, we've gone through as well, but is there anything else you'd like to share? It could be early memories of the shop.
We've always enjoyed it. You know, it's a nice business. It's harder nowadays than what it used to be. It's very difficult to try to get good help. Kids don't have work ethics like they used to have. And so it's very hard to find somebody that's going to work with you, and you know you can leave them alone for a few hours and things like that. So we usually, Pamela goes through more people in the beginning of the season before she's able to find a good worker and somebody. And you've got to be somebody that enjoys serving people. You know, you can't be there because you want to earn money. I mean, everybody comes because they want to earn money, but you also have to enjoy people and be with people. And we have, all our lives, we've always enjoyed being with people and having them be part of our life.
Yeah. What one of the other nice parts about running the business is, it's when the people that work for you leave and then come back. We have an individual that worked with us. He left out in Oklahoma someplace. He came back about 20 years later and says to me, Dean, now I know what you meant by running the business. I own my own, but he runs an automotive shop. And he was, gee, that's the reason why I went into business, because of you, he said. Now I know what you talked about when you talked about the kids all the time, he said. Three of the people that worked for us when they were younger, I don't know where they are now, one became one of the managers for McDonald's. The other three actually own their own businesses, are in their own business. And the mother for one of them says to me just about a year ago, the only reason why he's in business is you told him. He enjoys owning it. And that's one of the reasons why he went in business for himself. And he's doing very well. It's just that, you know, they learn some of them learn some things. They got along very well. And that's the nice thing when they come back and thank you for being there. I had one young lady, gave me a very, very hard time. I actually let her go. And it was a year later, she came back to me and she says, thank you for firing me and straightening me out that day. And she would have gone down, as she said, I would have gone down the wrong path if you didn't straighten me out that day. So it pays off in the long run for the people that come back and say hello to you.
Moxie's natural spring water. How did that happen?
Well, that's a very good story. You see, I'm going to give you the wild story. You see, I left a job that I was working at, and I was working at a sizable project at the time, and a salesman came in and was talking to me one day, and my wife wanted a porch on the back side of my house. you see. And, well, her uncle come up with this crazy witch stick, right, to tell you where water is. Well, right where we're going to put the building, the porch, he finds a five veiner. I said, no, we're going to put the porch there. Go find another one. He moved out to where we were. And that's a three veiner. Well, we dump 80,000 gallons a day down into Bonestill Creek. Well, it came down through my cellar, in the middle of my cellar. And I'm all upset. Here I got thousands of gallons of water running underneath me. So the salesman came in that was talking to me, says to me, you know, you can sell water. You can sell it. Well, you can? I don't know nothing about water. You can get a quarter of a cent a gallon or something. Wow, 80,000. Well, I said, well, that, you know, that doesn't interest me. Anyway, so he bugged me. So finally he came up with a thing of a show, National Water Show, that was being done in Arizona. So, all right, he says, well, here's what the ticket cost and whatnot, and he helped me pay for part of it. And we flew out to Arizona. I flew out to Arizona. And then I learned something about the water business. But I felt embarrassed because when I got there, I got a suit on, no tie, just a shirt and suit, and everybody's in tuxedos. So I sort of felt out of place. But I couldn't get anybody to talk to me. Because, you know, if you're going to buy something, you got to buy large quantities and whatnot. So I came back a little discouraged, I should say, and we came back. But this salesman that was coming into place, when we were talking about it, he says, I'll go get you a customer. I don't know if I want one or not. If I get a customer, where am I going to get the water? So he comes back about a week later and says, I got you two customers. And that was a riot part. Because we called around and nobody would sell us water. Finally, I found somebody down in Hobart, down south of here, who would sell us a cooler and 10 bottles of water. And that was a riot. My son Thomas and I went down in the wintertime. Got into a snowstorm. We drove, took us hours. Well, the cooler cost us $400. The bottles of water cost us $10, $15 a piece. We end up selling them for $7. We rented a cooler for $10. The guy ended up having all his bottles stolen that night, 2 days later. So we end up, and Geraldine says, I think you're crazy. So anyway, that was the start of our water business. But anyway, no, that we bought water in the beginning from different companies. Unsuccessfully, from two different companies. We end up with water with problems on both companies. While we're here, we needed a slogan at the time, and so my sister and I went out, and my wife, we went out to Utica and bought a llama. And that was the llama. So when we looked at this, Great Bear had a bear, someone else had an Indian, someone else had a deer, and someone else had a camel. And I said, well, what am I going to have? The llama. And that's why they come out with the llama. Moxie's llama, right? Waterworks. So anyway, the story goes as with the llama's running around here every day, and he would disappear every day. We didn't know where he went. He went out the field. So we waited around, and he'd come right on back. And every day he'd do the same thing. So I got a second llama. A short time later, we got a second llama, and they'd both disappear. Well, where are they going? What are they doing? Get down. Well, they're drinking water on this spot here, not drinking the rest of the water. So, well, what are we going to do? So then we take it about, since we had all this water, we're going to build a bottling plant, right? Well, we tested this water at the artesian well. We tested the water down the Spring Amway at the ice cream place. And my neighbor was building a house at the time. Next door, I had the guy with a backhoe come up and scoop a bucket out of the, down there where the llamas drinking water, and washed a bottle and stuck it in there, the cap on, took it to the lab. Well, the lab says, this is the best water there is. Your TDS is low. This is a very good water. She says, so that's where our spring started, and there we are. And we're in the water business.
Goodness.
So that was it. We went into water business. So we end up building a bottling plant. Very fortunately, I was in the water business, buying water and then selling it, distributing it throughout the whole area. One of our customers was I told him I was building a bottling plant because people told me I was crazy. No such thing. Nobody. It's just a fad. It'll go away in a couple of days. In a few months, it'll all go away. One of the friends I had worked to at one time, his father had done it years ago, and it didn't go over. He went totally broke doing his thing. I'm going to go in. And we did. We stayed with it. And the banks told me I was crazy, and they wouldn't talk to me and nothing else. So we started to build a bottling plant. Took all my money I had. And anyway, so we said, what do we do now for a building? Now that we got the slab, what do we do for the building? Well, one of our customers I was there was moving. He said, well, he has sheets and sheets of 3/4-inch plywood, and he had 2x4s and everything. He said, would you like them? And I said, well, yes. And so most of the inside 3/4-inch plywood that's done on the bottom floor of that building has all been donated, and most of the 2x4s were donated by a customer. And so we were going to church at the time, and I had mentioned that, and I said, well, I could use some help. So several of the church individuals at church came out and volunteered their time to help me build a building. So the Lord shows different things at different times to help you out.
Yeah, so water and ice cream and everything else.
Yep. Oh.
Great. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thanks so much for both of your time. Yep. These are wonderful stories.
Yeah. Yes. We thank you.